Okay, the question, what's it worth? Okay, that's a question that we ask, I think, fairly regularly when we're looking at stuff, whatever it is we're interested in buying or trading or whatever the case may be. We seem to be occupied with the concept of what things are worth. We are a very value-conscious world, all right? So we look at things and realize that there is a price for everything, and everything has a price, okay? And we tend to look at things in terms of what is the value of that thing, searching for what is it worth. Now, we understand that different things have different value and so forth, but we look at it in terms of realizing that some things are more valuable than others, right? Okay? Well, here's a question for you. What determines the value of something? Because in reality, some things are more valuable to some people than they are to others. Is that correct? You see, the old saying, one man's trash is another man's treasure, right? So it really depends a lot on the person. But value of things is generally determined by three things. All right? Let me share those three things with you. The first is the origin. All right? Where does it come from? What is it made of, kind of a thing? All right? So we look at that. So again, here's a difference. Which is more valuable? Okay? A whole stack of gold bricks or the same quantity, same weight of lead bricks? Which is more valuable? Well, of course, the gold is, right? Unless you're trying to build something that you need a lot of lead for, okay, then you might think that the lead is more valuable at the moment. But gold, we recognize that's the standard, and, you know, hey, gold is more valuable. How about this one? How about silk or cotton? Which is more valuable, you say? How about real or imitation? Okay. You can have a real diamond, or you can have a cubic zirconium, which is an imitation diamond, which is more valuable. Okay? Well, here's another one for you, okay? How about mayonnaise? Alright? There is real mayonnaise, and there is imitation mayonnaise. Which is more valuable? Now, the reason I bring this one up is because when I was a kid, my mom, she tried to convince us kids that imitation mayonnaise was just as good as real mayonnaise. And I let her know under no uncertain terms that that was not true. I can tell a difference between imitation mayonnaise and real mayonnaise. She tried to pull that fast one on us, but it didn't work. The real mayonnaise is much more valuable than imitation stuff. But we recognize that about where does it come from? What's its origin? Okay? The second thing here that determines value is availability. Okay? Is there a low availability or limited availability on something, or a high availability? There are, for instance, a lot of coins that are considered to be rare because there aren't very many of them available. Okay? Another aspect of that is that, probably bring it a little bit closer to home, is housing. Okay? The housing market right now is one in which the value of houses is skyrocketed because there are more people looking for houses than there are houses available. You see? So it's a matter of availability. That is determining, in a lot of ways, what the value of houses are. And people are oftentimes paying a whole lot more for houses than what they're worth, you say, right now, because there's not a whole lot of them available. I'm a little bit selfish in this one. I'm hoping that that keeps up a little bit for a few more months, you see, when we put our house on the market. But that's, you know, again, availability. And then the third one is desire. Okay, this is the third ingredient. Determines the value of something. It really has to do with how bad do you want it? Okay? How bad do you want that? Again, this is kind of that idea of what's valuable to one person may not be as valuable to someone else. You see? Because I may not really want that particular thing, whereas you really do. And so it becomes more valuable to you. And here then becomes the real question, what are you willing to give up in order to have that particular thing? All right? So origin, availability, and desire all have to do with determining the value of things. All right? Now, the lost and found basket. And you may have one of these at work. I know schools have these. Different places have them. But here's the interesting thing about lost and found baskets, okay? A lot of the stuff that ends up in lost and found baskets stays there, okay? Nobody comes to claim it because it doesn't really mean a whole lot to the person. Let me give you an example. When I was about 8 or 9 years old, okay, now back then, raincoats, the popular raincoats that most boys wore back then were yellow rain slickers. Okay, yeah, some of y'all remember those, right? Okay. Well, I needed a raincoat, and my dad, at that time, he wanted me to be a little bit more sophisticated than that, so he went out and bought me a top coat. Okay? Now, you know, my dad, you know, we didn't have a whole lot of money. My dad spent some money on this top coat for me, but at 8, 9 years old, I wanted a yellow rain slicker. So that top coat conveniently ended up in the lost and found somewhere. And until I got home and told my dad I lost it, and he lost it. You see? Here's the point. When we lose something that is not very valuable to us, then we don't really miss it, so therefore it ends up in the lost and found and it stays there. We don't really look very hard for it. But if we lose something that is very valuable, something that we have put into, invested into, or bought, then we're going to look for it. We're going to do whatever we can to find it or recover it or whatever the case may be. See? Golf balls. Okay? Now, when I play golf, I usually use Callaway or Titleist golf balls, which are two of the most expensive golf balls out there on the market. But I do not pay for them. I do not buy them. All of the golf balls that I use to play with, Callaways and Titleists, I have found out on the golf courses. Okay? They are too expensive for me to go out and buy. Now, Jerry, he buys them, right? No, they're too expensive for me to go out and buy. I have literally dozens of Callaway and Titleist golf balls. Now, here's the thing. I lose golf balls occasionally here and there. And when I lose one, guess what I do? Now, keep in mind, these are expensive golf balls. I just go to my bag and I take another one out and I play with that one. Because I don't really have a lot of investment in these golf balls, okay? So I don't put a whole lot of time and effort into looking for a lost golf ball because I didn't buy them to begin with, you see? But now I know some guys that will hunt and hunt and hunt. I mean, it's like, hey, look, the league only gives you 3 minutes to look for a lost golf ball. We've been out here for 10. Give it up, okay? But it's just the idea of what do we have invested in it? How valuable is it to us? Okay? How to determine the value of salvation? There's a question for you. Okay? How do we do that? Well, I suggest that we use the same three factors. All right? Same three factors in determining the value of all kinds of other things. And the first one is what? Origin. Where did it come from? The second one is availability. Whoa, where'd that go? Okay. And the third one is desire. The same three factors that we use for other things, let's take a look at those when it comes to salvation and the value of salvation. What is it worth? All right? So, first of all, what is the origin of salvation? Well, if you go over to what Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2, he says, "It is by grace you have been saved through faith." And notice this part. He says, "And this, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." So one of the things that we need to understand about salvation is it doesn't come from us. It doesn't come from ourselves. It is not a product of anything that we have done or can do. It is a gift of God. That's where it comes from. And also, Jesus tells us that it only comes from one source, and that's the Father Himself. No one, He says, comes to the Father except through me. You see? So the origin of our salvation is from God Himself. All right? What about the availability? How rare is salvation? Okay. Now, it is available to everyone, right? But does everyone take advantage of it? Jesus tells us to enter through the narrow gate, for small is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life. And look at what He says, "Few there be that find it." Okay? And then over in Matthew, He says, "For many are called, but again, few are chosen." So we look at that particular aspect of it and realize that, yes, it is available to everyone who will accept it, but only a few are actually taking it. All right? What about how bad do you want it? Okay? Desire. How much desire do you have for salvation? Well, we find the story of the rich young ruler, and I think this is a really great example of the idea of the desire. Where this rich young ruler comes to Jesus and he says to him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, "Keep the commandments." And the rich young ruler responds initially by saying to him, "Which ones?" As if some of them are optional. Okay? And Jesus is going along with him a little bit. Okay? He names some. Okay? Puts a few of them out there to him. And the young man says to Jesus, "All of these I have kept since I was a boy." Apparently feeling pretty good about himself. And Jesus says to him, "There's still one thing that you lack. Go and sell all of your possessions and give the money to the poor and then come follow me." And here's what the text then says about the young man. His face fell and he went away sad because he had great wealth. He wasn't willing to give up what he needed to give up in order to inherit eternal life. He wanted it. He had a certain level of desire, but he didn't have enough desire to give up what he needed to. And that's a problem that a lot of people have today. As someone says, everybody wants to go to heaven. You say, but not everybody is willing to do what they need to do to get there. You see? So the question remains, what are you willing to give up? What is it that Jesus tells us we need to give up in order to be His disciple? That's a question. Anybody? Ourselves. Everything. We need to, He says, to die to ourselves, right? So that's everything. Are we willing to give that up in order to have salvation? How valuable is it to you? Okay? And Jesus asked this particular question. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Right? There are a lot of folks like that rich young ruler who have a lot of physical earthly possessions and aren't willing to give them up in order to find eternal life. Jesus calls upon us to give up everything. And again, here's an interesting part of this that goes along with what we were talking about all of our stuff. We don't get really concerned when we lose things that we didn't pay much for. Now think about that a moment. Okay? Jesus paid a debt that he did not owe, because we owed a debt we could not pay. And we talk about all the time what we just celebrated a few moments ago, that Jesus' blood was shed in our place. He paid the price. We didn't. And while I don't know what to say in terms of gratitude for what he did, I think for some people, that's a problem because they don't really appreciate the price that was paid for their salvation.
Amen.
So they're not really that concerned about it. And if they lose it, it's not a big deal. How upset would you be if you lost your soul? And I ask that question because I really want you to stop and think about it. What are you investing in your own salvation? You see? And it's not that you can save yourself or do a certain amount of work or tasks or service or anything else to earn it. But I do believe that in doing the things that God has told us to do, it helps us to appreciate that gift of salvation that much more. You say, because in that way, we have invested something in our own salvation. So what is it worth to you? Okay? What is salvation worth to you? Well, Jesus talks about the value of the kingdom of heaven, right? In a couple of different parables. Let's take a look at them. The text that was read for us as we began this morning. The kingdom of heaven, he says, is like treasure. All right? First of all, we need to understand, God sees it as something very valuable. So Jesus compares the kingdom to a treasure. And he says that treasure was hidden in a field. And when a man found it, okay, man goes out in the field and he finds this treasure. What does he do with it? Jesus says he hid it again. Okay? And then he went out in his joy. Okay? Tells us how valuable he thinks this treasure is. In his joy, he went and sold all that he had and he bought that field. Okay? So here's someone who recognizes the value of the treasure. So much so that he goes out and he sells how much? Everything he had in order to be able to buy that field so that treasure will be his. He goes on then in the next parable to talk about the kingdom of heaven being like a merchant. And notice this merchant is seeking fine pearls. This is someone who is out looking for fine pearls. No doubt that in his searching, he's probably come across a bunch of different pearls. Okay? But he says, when he found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had. Okay? Sold all. and he bought that pearl. Again, Jesus is just simply trying to illustrate, first of all, the value of the kingdom and the necessity for those who are searching for it to do whatever it takes to obtain it. But in order to do that, you've got to recognize how valuable it really is. You see, both of these examples, the first man, he recognizes how valuable the treasure is, so he's willing to sacrifice everything that he has in order to have that treasure. And the second man sees lots of pearls, but he recognizes the value of that one pearl of great price and is willing to sacrifice everything so he can have that one pearl because of its value. There are all kinds of offers that the world is giving to us in order to find life and even salvation. The world is offering plenty of stuff. Okay? I mean, just think about it for a moment. Just stop and think about advertisements on television that the world is offering. If you do this, or if you have this, then you're going to have more life, right? Okay? So, you know, it's money, it's cars, it's houses. Gambling is a big thing right now. You know, I don't even know how many gambling apps there are that are available for people to go out there. And because supposedly you can do this so easy, and you can do what? You can make lots of money, you see? And we'll even give you the first $1,000 risk-free.
Yeah.
You see? And, of course, then there's all the alcohol. There's the clothing. There's all kinds of things that the world is throwing at us and telling us that these are the things that are valuable in life, and you need to have these things. Well, what about religion? Does religion do the same thing? Well, absolutely so. There's a lot of false religion out there. People that are teaching all kinds of things. And the Apostle Paul warned us that a time would come when men would not put up with sound doctrine, but instead, to suit their own desires, would gather around them teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. So we know that that was going to happen, and it is happening today. How about these folks that just want everybody religiously to coexist? It's a I'm okay, you're okay religion theology, you see? And nobody has a right to tell anybody else that maybe what they're believing and what they're following and practicing is not what it should be, you see? But just pick the religion of your choice. Join the church of your choice, and that will be fine with everyone. Here's the question about that. Will we keep the most valuable and give up everything else? Okay. Unfortunately, too many people today are giving up the most valuable and accepting whatever. And again, I think the reason for that is because they don't really understand and appreciate the true value of their salvation. Eternal life. How bad do we want it? What is the value of the kingdom of heaven to you? That's really what this is all about. Do you recognize how valuable it is? Do you recognize what a great treasure the kingdom of heaven really is? And what are you willing to give up in order to have it? Right? And understand that giving up is not, it's not a one-time thing. Okay? Jesus tells us in order to be His disciples, we've got to take up our cross how often?
Daily.
And follow Him. Okay? But if we don't understand and don't realize and appreciate the value of salvation, then we won't do that. Wesley has a song that he's chosen for us to use as an invitation song. And we're going to use that right now. And it's an opportunity for anyone to come and let us know if there's something that we can address for you. If you have a prayer request, or a need that you would like for us to address. And for anyone who is here that is not yet a Christian, if you desire to become one, if you recognize the value of salvation and you want that for yourself, it's an opportunity for you to have that. You can become a Christian today if that's your desire. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then call upon Him as your Lord. Repent of the sin that is separating you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. And you can do that right now, today. For those of you who are worshiping with us online, if you have a prayer request, you can text Wesley or myself, and we will address that prayer request afterwards. And if there's anyone out there who is not yet a Christian and at the point where you desire to become one, again, the same thing applies to you. We will make that happen as soon as is possible for you. All you have to do is contact us, and we will make those arrangements. The idea here is that it's an opportunity for anyone. Whatever need you have, whatever prayer request you have, to let us know and let us address it. And that's what we want to do. Let's stand together and sing. Wes, come on up. Amen.